Welcome to Fairbanks First Assembly podcast. We hope this message encourages you and blesses you. For more information, please visit our website at fbfirst.org.
Today, we're in our series called Joseph from Pit to Palace or Pinnacle. And last week, we talked about Joseph was a dreamer. And I shared with you that I believe God wants to raise up a generation of dreamers. Because I believe that, in fact, in Genesis 37, verse 1, it says, Jacob lived in a land where his father was a stranger. And then verse 2 talks about, and God raised up a young man named Joseph and gave him dreams. And I believe, church, that God's response to a world where he's a stranger is he wants to raise up a generation of dreamers, of visionaries who God puts something in their heart that so transforms them that they change the world around them. And so we're talking about next week, we're going to talk about Joseph when he's forgotten in a prison. Today, we're going to talk about Joseph when he's backstabbed because he's betrayed, in essence, by Potiphar's wife, lied about, put in prison. We're talking about how do we deal with being backstabbed or betrayal. But on the 29th of July, anyone on a diet in here, raise your hand real high. You're on a diet, raise your hand. Okay, good. There'll be a few extra donuts for the rest of us. Okay. We've got Krispy Kremes coming up. We got someone going down there the night before. They're flying up boxes of Krispy Kremes because we're going to talk about Crispus, Cremus. In Acts chapter 18, Crispus was the synagogue ruler. He made a commitment to serve Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, and his whole family made a commitment to Christ, and they were water baptized. And so Krispy Kremes are formed, and then they're baptized in icing. So we're believing on that we want to talk about water baptism because I believe that perhaps we have not talked enough about the power of being baptized underwater and being filled with the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to talk about how God forms us. We're a new creation, but repent and be baptized in the sweet water of baptism. And then put into a box like a life group. And we'll partake of Krispy Kremes. And so that's on the 29th of February. And we'll wrap our series of Joseph up. But today I want to talk about what do we do? Talk about Joseph. Character study of Joseph. What do we do? And here, let me just say this. I believe if you have a dream inside of you and there's something on the inside that senses destiny and you begin to walk toward that, you'll probably interact with people who will want to kill you or your dream like Joseph's brother. You'll probably find yourself in a pit. You'll probably find yourself a little. Joseph was sold into slavery. Ishmaelite traders purchased him, took him to Egypt. Potiphar purchased him as a slave, and now he's serving in a palace. And you might think, well, that sounds kind of nice. He goes from a pit to a palace. He's still a servant. He's a slave. He has no rights. He's serving in Potiphar's house. And how many want to know, dreams are like pictures. And dreams are not developed with the technology of 2017 where they're instant. We all want things to be instant today, okay? There's not microwave dreams. Dreams are developed like pictures in the dark room of life where God sometimes takes negatives and turns them around so they become something the world can see called a photo, picture. So today, I want to talk about another type of dark room. Last week we talked about pits. Today I want to talk about those times in our life when we're just doing what we're supposed to be doing. Maybe there's some dreams on the inside. And we're stabbed in the back. And just that word, stabbed in the back. How many of you guys like that statement, stabbed in the back? That just brings not fun minds. It doesn't. Stabbed in the back sounds painful. It sounds personal. Anyone here ever been stabbed in the back? Raise your hand real high. How many of you guys have never been stabbed in the back? Raise your hand. Okay, like two people's hands. I want to hang around people like you. That or you're numb and nothing ever happens. Or you live your life in such a way that God just kind of greased the wheels for you without the... Today I want to talk about maybe those people who've been cheated or cheated on or taken advantage of or lied about. And here's what I know. And I Fulton Buntain, my mentor, said this once. He says, if you're the chief or the leader, your teepee's going to get peed on every once in a while. In other words, there's some stinking things that happen. There's some difficult things that happen if you have a dream. And so if you're here today and you dream of great things and you dream, saying, God, you can use anything, Lord, use me, sang that song, then you might walk through some of what Joseph walked through. And I want to look at that today. Joseph, again, had 11 brothers. He was hated, put into a prison or pit, sold into slavery. He's now serving in Potiphar's house. And I want to pick the story up in Genesis chapter 39. It's on the screens. It'll also be on the app if you have our app on your phone. Genesis chapter 39, starting at verse number 5, it says, From the day, say day, like the first day, Joseph was put in charge of his master's household and property, the Lord began to bless Potiphar's household for Joseph's sake. God's hand was on Potiphar because God's hand was on Joseph. Joseph was very handsome. Sounds like some of the men in our church, doesn't it? Okay, women, that's a time for you to say, absolutely. Preach it, brother, preach it. Some of you, I guess I got to wait for second service. You guys are not quite awake yet. I was expecting Valerie Lee and Ellie to say, amen. Okay, all right, Charlie. She still didn't. Okay, I'm going to go back to my notes here. Joseph was a very handsome, well-built young, oh, never mind, it says young man, sorry. That's why some of us, we couldn't have a... And Potiphar's wife soon began to look at him lustfully. Come and sleep with me, she demanded. I want to pause here. When you're in a difficult place and you're in a pit and you're not living what your dream says you'll live, you have to be careful because it's when you're discouraged. It's when you're not on top of the world, but maybe it seems like it's on top of you. You have to be careful because it's at those points there's opportunities that we have to say no to. They look really pretty. They look really good, but they will abort the dream God's put inside of you. So here he is. He's a servant. He's a slave. And the master's wife has taken a liking to him. And it's at those moments that we have to be careful because it's really easy to make poor decisions when we're discouraged. Verse 8, but Joseph refused. Look, he told her, my master trusts me with everything in his entire household. No one here has more authority than I do, or has more authority than I do. He's held back nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How could I do such a wicked thing? It would be a great sin against God. She kept putting pressure on Joseph day after day. Say day after day. This thing didn't go away. Look at me, friends. There are times when you're discouraged, and there's going to be let me just say, every dreamer has something or someone that will seduce you away from your dream. Be careful. And then it goes on, it's day after day, but he refused to sleep with her, and he kept out of her way as much as possible. One day, however, no one else was around when he went to do his work. She came and grabbed him by his cloak, demanding, "Come on, sleep with me." Joseph tore himself away, but he left his cloak in her hand as he ran from the house. But when she saw that she was holding his cloak and he had fled, she called out to her servants. Soon all the men came running. "Look," she said, "my husband has brought this Hebrew slave here to make fools of us. He came into my room to rape me, but I screamed." Now, it's interesting, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18, the Bible says it doesn't say to walk away from sexual immorality, it says to flee from sexual immorality. And that word flee in the original language means to run away. Now let me say this, it wouldn't have been Custer's last stand if it would have been his first retreat. It would not have been Custer's last stand if it would have been his first retreat. So here's Joseph. He's in the palace. He's serving Potiphar's dream for his house. Potiphar's wife tries to seduce him. He loses his second coat. His first coat was taken by his brothers. They pretended to kill him, lied to his father, put goat's blood on his coat, the coat of a favored son. This is his second coat he lost. But friends, he lost his coat, but kept his character. Now every week there'll be what I call a pit to palace character trait. And the character trait we're going to look at today is integrity. The pit to pinnacle character trait is when you're stabbed in the back. Wow. When you're stabbed in the back, you need integrity. Integrity is an interesting word. Solomon said, "The godly walk with integrity. Blessed are the children who follow them." Proverbs chapter 20. The word integrity is not found in the New Testament. The equivalent to integrity in the New Testament would be the word sincerity, a sincere faith. How many of you guys have ever heard of the word sincere? Now, the word sincere is an interesting word, and in the Greek language, it carries with it a word picture, and the word sincere was a word used in merchantry or selling or in the marketplace. And what would happen is someone would judge the sincerity of a pot or the sincerity of something made in pottery and to tell if it was sincere. So you could cover a pot up with paint or glaze over it, but they would take a pot and hold it up to the sun. If they could see cracks in the pot, they'd call it insincere. When held up to the sun, if they could not see cracks, they would say, "This pot is sincere." In other words, through deeper investigation, does it have cracks in its walls, or is it sincere or full of integrity? And I want to present to you the idea that when you're stabbed in the back and things are difficult, it gives you a chance to work on the stuff in the dark room, work in the kiln of the potter's wheel, where the cracks are dealt with, the parts on the inside of you that only God sees, and he wants to develop the integrity. You've heard me say, it's not what happens to you, it's what happens in you that's the most important. So today, let's look at what do we do when we're stabbed in the back? What do we do when we're like Joseph and we're minding our business, doing what we've been asked to do, only to be stabbed in the back? And she screamed rape. And when her husband came home, her husband put him in prison. He goes from the pit to the palace, and now he's in prison. What do you do when you're wrongfully accused? What do you do when you're stabbed in the back? Number one, build a godly reputation before you're betrayed. Build a godly reputation before you're betrayed. From the day Joseph, in Genesis chapter 39, from the day Joseph was put in charge of his master's household and property, all his household affairs ran smoothly, and his crops and livestock flourished. So Potiphar gave Joseph complete administrative responsibility over everything he owned. With Joseph there, he didn't worry about a thing except what kind of food to eat. He had a reputation of someone who could be trusted, and he had that reputation before he was betrayed. You know what adultery or rape in that culture demanded? Literally that you would be killed. But he wasn't killed. He was put into the prison where the king's prisoners were put. Why? Because he had a reputation, and Potiphar's caught between a rock and a hard place. Do I believe my wife, or do I believe the integrity of this man? And friends, we work on our reputation before we're betrayed, not after we're betrayed. So when you're in the difficult seasons of life, dig deep and say, God, I want a sincere faith. I want to deal with the cracks in my life so when someone holds me up to the light, they don't see the cracks because they've been filled through God and the work he's done on my heart and in my life. Sincere faith. Joseph was a slave. Although he didn't work like one, did he? Potiphar put him in charge of everything. I love what Solomon said in Proverbs. Choose a good reputation over great riches. Being held in high esteem is better than silver and gold. When you're stabbed in the back, work on your godly reputation before you're betrayed. Work on it now. Number two, don't respond when emotions are high. And I can say in my younger days, anyone here a responder, a reactor? There's been times, and how many of you guys have not dealt with conflict the right way before, and you've overreacted and you responded before you swallowed hard and thought about it? I put myself there. But we have to be careful to not respond when emotions are high. I remember once I had flown into an event, and at one time I traveled full time as a speaker. That was my job, and I flew in somewhere. My plane had been delayed. The conference had started, and so the conference director sent a youth pastor out to pick me up. And the guy comes rolling in with a really shiny, bright car and big wheels jacked up and all this stuff. And he picks me up, and he's speeding. And he's praying, oh, God, I pray that there's all yellow, green lights. I mean, you know. And he wants to get there on time, and someone cuts him off. And the guy, I'm sitting in the other seat a little bit, and he cusses. And I'm like, oh, this is awkward. It's a Christian event. I'm the speaker, and the youth pastor cusses. He looks at me, he goes, I look at him and he goes, oops, I slipped. I said, no, you didn't. No, I don't talk like that typically. I slipped. I said, no, you didn't slip. You revealed. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And the Bible says the heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? I don't like that, where the heart is deceitfully wicked. The word deceit means it'll lie to you. In other words, the seat of our emotions, our heart. From our heart comes our words, and our heart will lie to us sometimes, and we'll feel wronged, and we'll feel bad, and we'll feel like, I just got to tell them, give them a piece. You know, if you keep your head, when everyone else loses theirs, you'll stand taller than them. If you give someone a piece of your mind, you'll probably lose peace of mind. And so we never see Joseph trying to get back at Potiphar. We never see Joseph picking back. Joseph just swallowed hard and let the Lord defend him, didn't he? So when we're stabbed in the back, let's be careful. I love what, again, Solomon said in Proverbs. People with understanding control their anger. A hot temper shows great foolishness. A hot temper shows great foolishness. We can't trust our emotions. Now, others will cheer you on. Oh, you've been wronged. You need to go do something about that. You need to give them a piece of your mind. Yeah, you ever had those people? Those are bad friends. They go, okay, get away from me. You'll be hurting yourself. You'll never make good decisions when you get back at someone and you're angry. And you've heard me say this before if you've come for a while. Anger is one letter short of danger. Don't get a D, a below grade level in anger. So when we're backstabbed and we're hurt, don't work on your reputation before you're backstabbed. Work on it now. Don't respond when emotions are high. Simmer down before sun. Simmer down a little bit. And thirdly, relinquish the right for revenge. Relinquish the right for revenge. Joseph, if you look at, he had multiple opportunities to get back at his brothers later on. Because later on, what happens? In 2 weeks, we'll talk about when his brothers come and bow down to him, and he's living his dream, and he had every reason or right, if we looked at him from the fleshly standpoint, what we want to do to get back at his brothers, but he didn't. He forgave them. He realized God did something in his heart in the process. What you meant for harm, God meant for good. Relinquish the right for revenge. Joseph could have settled scores. He became second in command even over Potiphar. But he didn't. Paul said it this way to Romans. He says, dear friends, never avenge yourselves. Leave that to God, for it is written, I will take vengeance. I will repay those who deserve it, says the Lord. See, my job's to trust God. God's job is to be God, and he'll make things right. Now, this has never happened in my house. I've just watched it happen in other people's houses. My kids always get along all the time. They're angels. They take after their mom. My boy, okay, we won't go there. But have you ever watched siblings fight? Have you ever watched one sibling like reach up and pinch the other one when no one's looking? I mean, I've never seen it in my house, but I've seen it in other people's houses, right? And then, have you ever seen the sibling who is pinched get upset and hit the other sibling in the arm, sometimes giving something worse than the pinch? Anyone ever seen that? So once in my house in the past 45 and a half years, once I've seen that happen where one of my kids pinched the other kid, my other kid responded, bam! Well, maybe not that hard. And I said, and all I saw was the hit. I didn't see the pinch. So I said, come over here. What did I say is going to happen if you hit your sister? He's going to get spanked. I said, yes. So what am I going to do? You're going to forgive me. I said, no, I'm going to spank you. But she pinched me first. I'm thinking, then she's already been disciplined, haven't you? You've disciplined her. I'm now disciplining you. I don't have to avenge what happened because you already did it. And God is up in heaven going, okay, I'm dealing with you now. You already avenged it. I'm stepping away. I can't avenge what you've already done. Sometimes we take it into our hands and God is going, just trust me. I will repay those who deserve it, says the Lord. It's not in your job description to analyze whether they deserve something or not. You step away and let me. You relinquish the right for revenge. My job's to trust God. God's job is to make things right. See, God is already working through the mess, friends. He's already working through it. God, you know, if you return evil for evil, God will not take your side. What do? We get on our knees. What did God tell? What did God speak to us through the Luke, the evangelist in the Gospel of Luke? He said, bless those who curse you and pray for those who mistreated you. Get on your knees. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreated you. Now, it doesn't say pray upon those who mistreated you. That's P-R-E-Y. He didn't say that. He said P-R-A-Y, pray for those who've mistreated you. Don't pray upon them. In other words, don't take it into your hands to settle the account straight. Don't you relinquish the rights for that. Pray for people, not upon people. When you're stabbed in the back, before it ever happens, work on your reputation. Work on how you respond to make sure you wait and not respond in anger. Relinquish the right for revenge. Fourthly, forgive the people who betrayed you. Now, does anyone else in here find forgiveness just kind of hard? I'm probably the only one. You all get A's in this, I'm sure. Forgiveness. Do you know what forgiveness is? Forgiveness is letting go. Forgiveness is forgiveness, it frees you from the power others have over you that they don't know they have over you. I heard someone say once, forgiveness or unforgiveness is you swallowing poison hoping the other person dies. Forgiveness, let go. It's hard. Now that seems, it's hard. I mean, that's why Angry Birds was the number one downloaded app on smartphones for years, because we love getting back at those who've hurt us. If you don't know what Angry Birds is, well, there'll be a support group at the end of service for you. In Colossians chapter 3, it says, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Now, I made a mention of this in a moment, but the end of the story, Joseph was good at forgiving. His brothers thought he was going to kill them. His brothers thought they were in big trouble when Joseph revealed his identity to them. And he said, what you meant for harm, God meant for what? Good. What's the next part of the statement? For the saving of many souls. Look at me. Why does bad things happen to us? And why are sometimes we stabbed in the back? Because God wants to develop a dreamer, and there's always souls on the end of it. God wants us to grow and become all he's dreamed of us to become. Why? So we're better at reaching people lost for him who need us to be in the right place, in the right way, and be the right people. This is why character, integrity is important, because it's our integrity that will allow us to reach people who don't know Jesus. Jesus came to seek and save that which is lost. We're here on this planet, and we walk through difficult times so God can heal. Why? So we can reach people far from Jesus. That's why we're here. The last principle. What do we do when we're stabbed in the back? The last principle is trust him, or trust with my future and don't look back. Trust God with my future and don't look back. Trust him with your future. You've heard me. Some of you have heard me say this before. If this wall represents my past and the pits I've been through and the backstabbing I've been through, and I stare at my back, if this represents my past, and this wall represents my future. If I stare at my past, I have my back to my future. And the devil would love for you to stare at the pain, the hurt. And see, the devil would love, in your anger, do not sin. He would love for you to get so trapped in your anger, so trapped in the backstabbing, that we miss out on tomorrow because we're dreaming about yesterday, not tomorrow. And trust him about the, listen to this statement here. He's been thrown in jail. Does he have every right to be upset? Yes. Falsely accused, lied about. He tried to rape me, and he's here in prison. And it says Potiphar took Joseph and threw him into the prison where the king's prisoners were held. How many of you guys want to know? The King of Kings and Lord of Lords has a holding tank for us until we become all that he wants us to be. Now, let me just throw this idea. What would happen if Joseph would have had so much success as a slave that he wouldn't have been thrown into a prison? What would happen? Do you think if he got freedom, he would have left before the chance for him to interpret someone else's dream and end up serving a dream and save many people? Sometimes God wants to hold you in a difficult season for a while because he's got a bigger plan than what you feel like he's got right now. Maybe some of you have been stuck in a prison for a while. He's in a prison where the king's prisoners were held, and there he remained. Say remained. He was stuck. Say stuck. Stuck. But, I love that word. But. There's some good buts in the Bible. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. He's stuck in, but the Lord was with Joseph in the prison and showed him his faithful love. Listen, but the Lord was with Joseph, say with Joseph, with him in the prison, with him. And the Lord made Joseph a favorite with the prison warden. He was thrown in the pit. God was there. He was in the palace and God blessed him. He's in the prison and God was there and put favor over him. Friends, trust God with your future. Here's the deal. In your divorce, don't look at the person that betrayed you or hurt. Look for God where you're at right now. He's in prison, and he found that God was right there with him. If you've been betrayed, look for God. If you've been hurt, look for God. If you feel like you've been distrusted, look for God. If you're in pain, look for God. Look. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8 says this. God promises this. He will never leave you, and he'll never forsake you. Martin Luther said this, I don't know what the future holds, but I do know who holds the future. David said this way, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me. I don't know where you're at right now. Maybe you're in a valley. It's time to have a rally in the valley because here's the deal. Yea, though I walk through. He doesn't say you're walking to the valley of death. You're walking through the valley of death and the shadow of death. The shadow is always bigger than reality. Yea, though I walk through, and a shadow is always there because there's light on the other side of it. If you're in a difficult place right now, let me just tell you something. Realize and understand God is with you right now. He's with you. Now, some of us in here, this was just a reminder to deal with our sincere faith, our integrity today. Make the right decisions now. Go through the dark room of life and let God develop you. It means to work on the inside when no one else is around, the character side of us. Some of you in here are like, oh no, Mark, I'm there right now. I've been cheated on. I've been cheated. I've been hurt. I've been betrayed. And it hurts and it's hard. And I just want to say, you can look at the pain or you can look at the God who's with you right now in the pain. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. God has plans for you. Now, you might be here today and say, well, but Mark, look for Jesus. I need to look to Jesus right now. I've backslidden. I'm far from God. I don't have a relationship with God. Then I just want to, pause for a moment and say this. If I sold cars and I worked at a car dealer in town, and I sold cars, and I told you all the reasons you should buy the car, and then you're sitting there like, well, how much is it? And I'd say, well, I'm not really sure. And I let you walk away without saying, hey, do you want to buy the car? You look at me and go, this guy doesn't believe what he sells. I not only believe what I sell, I do what I sell. And if you're here today and you forget who I am, you haven't lost a whole lot. If you forget what our church is and who we are, you haven't lost a whole lot. But if you walk out of here today and you don't know Jesus and you don't know what he's done in your on the cross for you, you've lost everything. If you're here today and you say, Mark, great talk. To you was a talk on character, integrity, and reputation, and how to walk through difficult times. You gained a little bit, but if you walk out of here and you gain a relationship with Jesus Christ, you've gained everything you need. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory or God's plan for our life, and the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Maybe you're here today and you don't have a relationship with Jesus. I want to pray with you. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes all across this place this morning? You're here today. You're not in right relationship with Jesus. You don't have a relationship with him. You came because someone invited you. But you're here today and you say, Mark, I want to have a relationship with Jesus. I want to begin a relationship with Jesus today. Or you're backslidden. You used to serve him, but you're not now. You say, today, Pastor, I want to make a decision to serve Jesus. I'm going to ask you in a moment just to wave your hand at me when I say it. Count to three. One, two, if you're a Christ follower, would you pray? I'm going to say three in a moment. You've been looking for hope. Maybe you're going, man, Mark, if you held my life up to the light, there's a whole lot of cracks, and I need someone named Jesus to step in right now and help me with the cracks in my life. I need God to heal me and to forgive me. I'm going to say three in a moment. You're here and you say, Pastor, today I want to make a decision to serve Jesus with everything in me. Maybe for the first time, or you're coming home. Three, anyone lift your hand and say, Mark, that's me. Just lift your hand and wave at me right now if that's you. Anyone in here that would say, the balcony or down on the main floor, say, Pastor, today I need to come home to Jesus. Just wave at me real quick. Would you stand with me all across this place this morning? We're going to close with this song. But as we close, maybe you're here today. God, we just want the faith to trust you more. God, no matter where we're at today in our journey with you, in our journey with others, God, for those in here today that are walking through being stabbed in the back recently, they're walking through life and there's hurt, there's discomfort, there's pain, there's unforgiveness, I pray that they would find that they can cast their cares on you because you care for them. I thank you for that. God, be with us as we go our separate ways today. In Jesus' name, amen. Church, thanks for coming today. If you feel like this message would help a friend, would you invite a friend next week? Tomorrow, next week, we're talking about the life that's been forgotten. When you've been in a prison for a while and you feel like you're forgotten there. And if you have a friend that you think that would help, would you invite them? God loves you. I love you. And there's nothing you can do about it. Have a great week.